Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up
Hello?
Being a man.
Hold tight, sir. Hold tight, right?
But I'm the best man I know.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Somebody asked.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Well, I see myself
right,
10 years.
Hold tight right there.
Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
Did you catch me now, Andre? Just hold tight.
Yeah, I got you. Yep.
Okay. You're in the studio. Just hold tight.
Okay.
Hello. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hold
yes.
tight, right there. Hold tight.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you just hold tight. I want to speak to you. Hold tight. One more call here, gentlemen, then we'll get right to the conversation.
Yours, mine.
Let the OJs fade out there, and we're going to bring the gentleman in. We got another caller that we're trying to reach there. Okay. So hopefully they'll call us in here in just a little bit. Welcome, gentlemen, to Talk Straight. Normally, I have a monologue, and I open up the conversation with that. But tonight, we intend to open the floor to talk about fatherhood. And you gentlemen are two men who I know. Y'all make it look easy. Make it look really. We're getting some feedback. If you're close to a computer and your phone, that may be cause for feedback. So if you count, and if you're in the background, you hear there are other people in the background, it picks up in the studio here. So just be mindful of that. All right. My brother from Atlanta, brother from Nashville right now with us. We want to welcome you guys. And just we're talking about fatherhood. Now, it's interesting to me you heard how the OJs in the background were singing about the importance of the family and identifying the role of a father in the security of the family. Let me welcome you guys, and let me let you guys talk to us a little bit. And when the other gentlemen come on, we'll open the floor to anyone else. Tonight, you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. And our topic is simply calling all fathers to the floor. Let's sound out. We're talking about family, faith, and fatherhood. Let's yield to you, my friend in Atlanta. 8934, last four digits of your phone number. Thanks for being here.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're glad to have you. I'm going to learn me a few things tonight.
All right. So, yeah, I'm going to introduce myself. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. It's on you.
Okay. Yeah, so I want to introduce myself. I'm Andre Taylor. And Mr. Reuben Dockery's nephew.
All right.
So yeah, I am a father of three. Been married for 15 years.
What?
And I was introduced to fatherhood in the year of 2003. Fatherhood has definitely played a huge role in terms of growth, maturation in my life. And I kind of, you know, look at it as a way of God, one of God's many tools and instruments to make me walk righteous, think righteous, and strive for righteousness. Mm. So, and
like
being an example for my children and trying to raise them up right, you know, dedication, love, patience. You learn all these things in the journey of fatherhood. Uncomfortable at times, but, you know, with growth, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be some challenges here and there, but it's all for better though. But yeah, so, you know, I've enjoyed it. And, you know, my thing is sometimes I don't reflect enough. I'm just so, you know, deep in it and just, you know, all I know is go, you know, when it comes to being a father. And, you know, here I am now, you know, there, that one going to college. And, all you know, my daughter, you know, she's going to be a junior. She's going to be soon to be. And then my youngest who also. So, you know, went pretty fast. You know, sometimes I reflect and I look back and I'm like, well, dang, I wish I could, you know, let them be babies for a weekend and turn them back to their ages now. Just to kiss them a few more times and hug them when they was in Pampers again. And fast forward time again.
Right.
Well, but yeah, fatherhood has been great.
Great.
For me.
Great. Well, man.
You
know, we appreciate that. We appreciate that because you're right. We are learning and we're practicing as we go. We're practicing as we go. And sometimes we're a little hard on ourselves, but we got to realize that, hey, it's a we're a father for the first time, right? And as you grow through it, you learn. You learn. So.
Yep.
All right. Appreciate that. If you don't mind, I'd like to snowball it to Brother B in there, 3562. And then we got Brother Jerry on. Brother Jerry on. He's been on the journey for a little while as a father. But Ben is a upcoming young father who got some bright young minds that he's shaping and developing with his wife. Ben, welcome to the show there.
Thank you. I appreciate the welcome.
Yes, sir.
Just kind of introduce myself. My name is Ben Shelton Jr. I will be the son of Benjamin Sr. Just grateful to be on the show, to be able to share my perspective and my insight into fatherhood and also into how it has shaped me as an individual and changed the way I think about things, or maybe not necessarily completely changed the way I think about things, because I've always had a family mentality, but it intensified my thoughts on things that I was not previously giving as much energy to. And you know, and in some ways, I have definitely learned a lot of information on the go. Mr. Taylor said, you know, this is your first time being a father. You're practicing from scratch, and there's no. There's no preparation. I just reference it to a sport, the great Mike Tyson that everybody has to play until they get hit in the mouth. And being a father, you know, you prepare and you plan and you practice and you try to get things in order while your wife or your spouse is pregnant, and when the baby's here, it's on you. Everything that you've talked about and discussed is now into effect. And I'm a father of three. My eldest just turned five, and my baby, I have two daughters. My eldest turned five. My second, she'll be three in August. And then I just had a baby boy for the first time. So as my generation says, boy dad now, finally, officially. But so I mean it's just been an interesting process taking it all in. I don't know if it's different that I have a son, but I know it feels new. It feels like a new element, you know. It's kind of like I hate to say it, use him as an analogy like this. It's kind of like a toy that you're ready to, you know, take out of the box and play with. You know, he's a little bitty baby now. It's almost like I can't wait to do all of these things, you know, with him. I've actually witnessed Mr. Taylor interact with his sons before, and I know the joy, but just as he mentioned, also don't want to take away from the fact that he's a little bitty baby, and I want to enjoy this time and give him all the hugs and kisses and, you know, things of that nature. So just different dynamic, but I'm grateful to be a father now and to be able to, you know, just share my experience more as we, I guess, discuss a little more later.
Sure. Okay, thank you. Let me pause for a second before I go to Mr. Gregory there and recognize our regular calling listener, 8112. We affectionately call her Mama D. She's out of Peoria, Illinois. And Mama D, we're not overlooking you. But I hope you can appreciate tonight. We want to hear fathers tell their stories about fatherhood.
Oh, I was enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, and I know your son, he's not on with us, but if you want to tell a little bit about his experiences, got some beautiful young people, and they're doing great. Oklahoma, right? Are they in Oklahoma?
One's in Texas, and one of the other ones is in Washington, D.C. Seattle, Washington?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay,
yeah, and they
okay.
have both have children as well, so.
All right. Well, if you don't mind, gentlemen, we're going to make room for her to kind of share her son's story. Because this is a focus on fatherhood. I'm learning something now, 8112. They're learning something. All right. Well, we go back to Brother Gregory, who's on the panel. We've been listening to Brother Taylor. We've been listening to Brother Shelton. And now we got Brother Gregory. Come on, Brother Gregory. Talk to me, man. Teach me something else. Teach us about fatherhood. Tell us a little bit about your children. And that sort of thing.
First and foremost, it's an honor to be on the show, and I'd like to thank you, Reverend Dr. Lee, for having me. And for me, on a personal level, being a father is one of the greatest gifts a man can ever have in his life. And I treasure it, I honor it, and I live for it on a daily basis. And being a father, it's ups and downs and challenges, as it was stated earlier from the two callers. But the greatest gift and growth is going through pain and challenges and striving into being in the right direction. You raise them right, you teach them from right and wrong, and you set goals and expectations for your children. As an example, being a father, that's one of the important roles of being a father. You're being a leader, a listener, a doctor, a nurse, per se. A psychologist is all wrapped in one, and I have three beautiful children, two young men, one young lady, and I have five amazing grandbabies that I live for. They are my life.
All right. Very nice.
And also to add to that, Ruben, not only for me on a personal level, I'm not only a father for my children, but I look at it as I'm a father to the world. Because you know, you live long enough, there are going to be young men and young women that's going to need guidance. They're going to need inspiration, and they're going to need wisdom and knowledge as well. And for me personally, that's our role as a man. Not only to be father to our children, but to be father to strangers as well.
Okay, I'm going to come to that. Right. You, that's a great point. If you don't mind, I'm coming back to that. That's a great point. Yes. All right. Well, let me do this. Thank you, gentlemen. Don't go nowhere. Don't go now. We got 2 hours for the show, and this is really your time. And I'm going to throw some questions at you, and I'm going to invite my sister to pose any questions that she might have. About this thing about fatherhood to any one of us, 8112. You just shoot your gun. We ready. We locked and loaded. We ready to roll. But would you first talk to us a little bit about your son and your grandchildren and the example that you have imparted in them and witnessed from them. That's fine. Then we'll open up.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Are you okay?
Derek,
okay.
His name is Derek. He lives in Texas.
Okay.
And the kid's mom passed away at an early age.
Oh.
The kid was upsized enough and stuff. She passed away. And this young man had to come back home and get all, well, now he has 5 children. He had 4 then.
What?
And plus
okay.
one of her firstborn son that he raised from a baby.
Okay.
And he went to Texas, and he's been there with them kids ever since. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I really do. And I hope I have something as a mother to nurture that, to help inspire that, to love and be able to care for, as the guy said, your children like that. And the one in Adam, his name is Adam. He lives in Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
However, him and his fiance at that time decided that's where she's from, her birthplace, so they're going to live there. Well, young folks, they separated. And he has those children every chance he gets, just him and his 3 boys.
Okay.
Doing it up.
Okay.
And I think that's cool as well, so those. I like all of them are good. We only have 3 sons that have children, but they all are good good male figures in their children's lives, and I love them for that.
Wonderful, wonderful. Wow, wow. Okay, okay, okay. Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. And you feel free to shoot any questions. Don't ask me no questions. You can ask the rest of the guys, though. No. All of us are prepared to share.
Right.
One question.
I'm just enjoying their stories. Their stories are very encouraging and to even a mother to know that there's guys. I know that they exist. I have a couple of them, but I'm just saying that's reaching out.
You make a great point.
It's beautiful.
So, and that was one of my questions, gentlemen. We can go around the table with this. You know, we're so busy being fathers, being men, and being responsible that we don't have time to stand on a soapbox and tell everybody, hey, look at me. But you know what happens a lot is certain individuals get all the spotlight in the media, and they're always clowning, and they misrepresent what fatherhood is about. Would you all speak to that, and is there anything that could and should be done to, or should we just ignore that and keep on moving on? Let's start with you, Brother Dre. What do you think about that?
So the question was us being misrepresented in terms of people who get attention. Or doing their job as a father, but representing us who are actually doing the legwork.
Really what happens is when people start thinking negatively of fathers, it's the irresponsible individual. It's those people that are all used for trying to take care of their children. Sometimes people work hard and they do the best they can, but there are people that are just trifling, certain brothers that don't have no interest. That's what I'm speaking of. But yet they get all attention, and good men like you and I get labeled for the foolishness that's associated with it.
Right.
That's what I'm speaking
of. Okay. Well, I can't speak to how people feel or how they view things. All I can control is what I do now. When asked or when I have an opportunity to, you know, share some wisdom or encouragement to my fellow brother or any young man out there who seek to, you know, advice, you know, share truth with them and experience, of course, and even, you know, things that I feel like that I need to improve on that I share with them that, hey, you know, maybe you should try this so that maybe you can be ahead of where I'm currently at, you know.
Okay.
But I can only control what I do as a man, you know.
Right.
In terms of me being a father and doing my daily task, and you know, in terms of controlling the narrative of the viewers or the naysayers or whomever, the world. I look at it as I'm too busy doing being a dad. You know, I can't really. You know, that's my thoughts on that.
Sure. Okay, appreciate that. Well, let's snowball it to Jerry. What do you think about that, Jerry?
Reverend Doc, can you repeat the question again, please, sir?
No, I was simply asking about the oftentimes mislabeling of responsible individuals who are not trying to do anything to care for themselves or their children. And everybody, all fathers, too often get painted with that broad brush, okay? And I was asking, given the fact we're busy being responsible as fathers, is there a need for us to give attention to the negative attention that the news media and other folk lay on all fathers, paint them with that broad brush? I'm paraphrasing the question again a little bit, but that's essentially what we asked.
No, right. We don't need to feed into the negativism of what the media display. But however, the media, we need to make it known that there are responsible black dads, fathers out here that are doing a wonderful job. you know, and speaking on a historical fact, you know, dealing with the black male, for those who don't know history, that we have been labeled for over 100 years of not wanting to take care of our family, but that's wrong. That's been happened over here doing slavery before that time. But however, if you are being a real dad and you take your responsibility as one of the calls mentioned, you don't really have time for the naysayers. You don't control what you control. But there are individuals that come up to you and ask you for advice and wisdom. To me, that's our role to do that, because that's part of being an extended father, not only to the children, but to the one who's seeking knowledge as well. And, you know, speaking from a personal experience, from me, when my children was little in elementary school, in which wasn't getting any recognition that they should have gotten, that I seen plenty of dads out there at the schools attending a field trip, PTAs, going out to lunch, having lunch with their children in school. That's not been broadcast because the dogma of the media, which is annihilating the black man, is not a father figure. We're not looked at it as a role model of father figures, as black fathers.
Right. Huh, interesting. Okay. Let's hear from Ben. And 8112, have you loaded your shotgun with questions for us yet?
No pressure.
No pressure if
you hadn't. But feel free to let's hear from Ben, and then
we'll entertain any questions.
Yes. I heard the question. I think it's a fair question. I think this dialogue that's being had now in the radio show, to be able to broadcast and give light unto the good fathers that are putting in the work, and to counter the negative outlets. As we know, in news and information, a lot of negativity sells.
Right.
And I think that particularly since Mr. Gregory bring it up, black fathers are demonized, or not necessarily black fathers, black men are demonized in media. And it's not to say that there aren't black men who aren't of quality, because we are clearly aware of that. That's already been made evident. But in order to balance and counteract and allow us to have some understanding that we are more and just the negative, it's important to have these dialogues to show the ones who are caring and who are for it. As we speak, I'm actually feeding my my 2-year-old right now. but in order to counteract these stereotypes that we have, it is important to have these dialogues and to discuss those who are, Brother Taylor said, doing the work in the communities, and it's not very often, or it's not very common for us to put ourselves on the pedestal and boast on a public level. Maybe the platform isn't actually there. I think a lot of sports fathers, they get a lot of recognition because, you know, they're in the media, and they deserve recognition and credit. But they're more than just sports fathers who are out here doing the work. So it is important to counter those ideas of a stereotypical father who's only involved in certain matters and aspects of their children's lives, and show that there are more. And I think there are men out here who are trying to do that work. And I think this is, once again, is an important conversation that had be had publicly to just give an example of what's going on in everyday lives.
Sure. Thank you for that. Well,
and Reverend Doctor, if you don't mind me jumping in to add to Mr. Sheldon's comment about the athletes, the fathers who are athletes that get the high praise. I can recall a video, they had a video out on that some years ago, when these high profiles and celebrities was highlighted as being fathers. And my point was, the second was, okay, what about the everyday fathers who don't get the recognition?
Right.
So are they obsolete? Should they be overlooked? So is media driven and only to say that only black entertainment celebrities are real fathers. That's what I got out of it.
Yeah. Good point. That's true. And again, gentlemen, if you spend time paying attention to that, it can cause you to say, my goodness, that's the last thing folks need to be focusing on. If it wasn't for the media putting those athletes in front of the cameras, we wouldn't even know they exist. And their brothers out here working mm-hmm. every day, you know, from sun up to sundown by the sweat of their brow. But should you look for recognition? Should you look for recognition? 12, you have any?
No, you shouldn't. That's the expectation of being a father. You shouldn't get a pat on the back because that's part of fatherhood anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
Wow. So your reward is the fruit of your labor. Y'all trying to throw a preach word on
yes,
me.
Sir.
Looks like y'all trying to sneak a preach in on me, Brother Taylor. Look. So y'all telling me that the reward is the evidence from your children. Is that what you're mm-hmm. saying? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but it don't hurt
yes,
for someone to say, I'm proud of you and what you've done. Even your children can say, I thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it doesn't hurt. It definitely doesn't hurt.
Yeah. I think she's made a fantastic point. I don't believe that that should be the primary reason to be a good father, because we're not trying to be good fathers in the public. You know, there's no reward for private fatherhood unless you just mentioned, Brother Dockery, seeing the actual fruit. You know, the fruit will tell you if you've been a good father or not. It's in a lot of cases. I mean, I know we have some rotten seeds and things like that, but for the most part,
right.
the fruit will generally tell you who's been actually putting in the work.
Yeah.
And I just want to commend everybody who's on this call. I'm sorry, because I know everybody personally.
Yes, sir. I was just going to say, before I lost my train of thought, which I know what I'm thinking, that you're right. I believe that because the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree.
All right.
But Reverend Doctor, if you don't mind me, one of the greatest honor a father can get is when their father child tells them, thank you. I love you. Thank you for making the sacrifice for me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being who you are and stay steadfast to your belief, what was right, what was wrong, and to your discipline. That's what my son told me.
Okay. Wow.
That sounds like a very beautiful thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, 12, I was going to open the floor. Did you have any specific questions that you wanted to ask any of us before we moved on? I have a question that I want that Mr. Taylor, I want to pick on him for a second.
I really don't have any questions because, like I said, you guys, I'm very sure are fantastic dads, or you probably wouldn't even be on here. And there's so many others that should be on here that's not, for whatever the reasons.
Right.
Maybe they don't even
right.
know about the show, but there's a
right.
lot that does know. And I recall, and I called early last week thinking it was last week because I thought Father's Day, but for some strange reason. And I remember it's this Sunday, so that's pretty
right.
cool.
That's right. Okay. Well, Brother Taylor, I said I was going to pick on you. I mean that in a loving way. You understand what I'm saying? How, if you had to take a trestle board with a brush and paint and draw in a father and describe it, where would you start? How do you where do you start? Do you start with his nose? Do his hands? His feet? What? Talk to me, man. Talk to me like I'm 3 years old.
I would start internally, and so when you're saying internally, that would be his heart. And then from there. There'd be his mind.
Wow.
And then everything else would be easy.
Okay.
So that's my spiel on that. Because I think that's very important. You know, it's everything, you know, it starts with this one word, love, could fulfill you know, all the great characteristics that comes in the man, you know, so.
Right.
But, yeah.
Wow.
That's
interesting. You know, yesterday, or Tuesday, Brother Taylor, the show was entitled Seven Pillars of Manhood. And the conclusion was that you cannot be responsible as a father until you've mastered being supported as a man.
Right.
And quite often in relationships, individuals become frustrated, the female counterpart, when the role, she has a very important role, you know, as a mother and as a figure.
Right.
And what happens is when they can't see the imminence of manhood, of a husband and a father, that becomes friction. So I ask you, let me throw the ball when you get through to the other gentleman. He said he'll start with his heart. He's going to start painting the heart on the trestle board. What are you going to start at, Ben? What you going to start with?
Well, since he already used the heart, for the sake of sounding original, but not just to be different, I would say the start of a father is, and I'm only going to speak from my perspective of being a married husband, a husband and a father. I would say the start of fatherhood is being a son. Once you are a son, as I'm going to quote James Brown, as Mr. Dockery has before, I'm a son of a father. So
right.
Being a son of a father has given me a heavy blueprint to build on in order to be a father. So I feel a heavy portion of being a father already comes with some guidance of the previous or the past generation. And I was fortunate enough to have my father to be able to, like I said, lay down some things that I may not have understood as a child. But when I became a man, I realized how important those things and how necessary those things were for me to live my life. And and not just to live my life, but to be able to positively impact those who are around me and in my immediate vicinity and potentially beyond.
Okay, interesting. Wow. Okay, we're joined by Chicago, a father out of Chicago, and we're on with Brother Jerry, Brother Taylor, Brother Ben, and Brother Doc here. We're talking about, you want to begin to introduce yourself, talk about the children, anything about fatherhood you think we need to know that, sir, and we'll jump right in. Ben, you said something. I got a question for you, man. You struck a nerve with me. And we're also joined by Facebook, Ms. P on Facebook. Feel free to join us there, Ms. P. And we got Mama D. We cannot. Mama D will whoop me if I forget to mention her. But she's on with us tonight. And she shared with us some of the experiences of her son. But great stories. It's about fatherhood. That's what we're talking about tonight. We want you to sound off, calling all fathers to the floor. And basically, we want you to talk about fatherhood, faith, and family. All right, Chicago, welcome, my friend, to the conversation.
Hey, thank you, sir.
Absolutely. What about being a father? Tell us about your
experience. Man, it's, where do you start at, sir? I am happy to be a father, man, first and foremost, because one of the reasons is that it definitely put you in a position to know that you have something else to do in life other than just for yourself. And that's a great feeling to me. I have three beautiful children. Well, not children. Two of them grown, man.
What?
And I hate to say that because they're girls.
Yeah. Well,
and one little girl on the way, so I started all over again. But you know, it's all love, and I appreciate it, man, and I am very proud of what they did and the young ladies they have become in life, and it's a beautiful thing. I've talked to several people that, you know, that feel like, you know, hey, I don't want to be a father. That's too much responsibility. But in life, we got responsibilities. So.
Right.
Yeah. Right. That's right. You know, and if I might, what many people enjoy is doing what it takes to become a father. But then when responsibility hits, they want to cut and run. Is that Don Juan, brother? Is that Don Juan, brother?
Now that dog won.
Listen, but that's like trying to take a poo out there to chase squirrel. You need you a golden retriever or something, don't you? A hound dog or something.
Right. I would say they got the hound dog, man. They call it the quarter law. You play with it if you want to.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. I think it was the last show. I talked about a report, and I used to work with an organization that focused on helping men to become responsible as fathers. And make a long story short, there's been an ongoing report every 2 years from the Council of State Legislators. And they understood that when it comes to child support enforcement, it was too punitive, right? And there were a lot of people, a lot of men who wanted to be responsible. They had barriers. Their economics was a barrier. Oftentimes their level of education, and it affected their ability to maintain the quality of life they wanted. And I'm not making excuses for them, but at the end of the day, they said, well, how can we come up with, yes, we want them to be responsible, we want them to pay child support, but we also want them active in their children's lives. And that's one of the biggest challenges. And I think it goes back to something someone said about people being afraid to step up to the responsibility when they know there's a child on the way. Anybody want to respond to that right quickly?
I want to elaborate on the last question that you posed for how to paint the birth of a man.
Okay. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
For me, from my perspective, for me personally, I would start with the mind, with his mind, because his mind can teach you knowledge and wisdom. Mm. And from there, I would go to his heart, because his heart can teach you compassion and have an empathy for others.
Okay.
And I follow up with his hands, because his hands can teach you how to work.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, that was somebody's background. Ms. Gregory?
Yes, okay.
Ms. Gregory,
I would start with his mind, because his mind can teach you knowledge and wisdom.
Okay.
And then his heart would teach you compassion, love, and empathy. And his hand would teach you how to work and be a provider and be a protector.
Uh-oh. Drop it like it's hot. Okay.
I like that.
Yeah.
And his eyes would show you a vision, and that's what I would end up with.
Wow. So that's how you would draw him out. That's how you would,
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Can I veg you back off of his model? I would say with all of those things, add to the feat gives you the endurance and the durability to continue to keep going.
My.
No.
Okay. Well, I think they're trying to stick a preach word in here, girl. What's wrong with them? Okay. I want to pose this question to Ben. He was saying that he had a father figure, which is wonderful. But you know there are many brothers who are challenged not to have that. Ben, do you think you can become a father responsibly if you didn't have one? Is it possible? Is there hope for you?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Mother D jumped in there.
You know,
women,
you know, that's,
or maybe not even choose to. When you're backed against the wall and things do happen, and somebody went early, and if you had your mother to guide you, and I speak about mother because I'm a woman, I can't speak. I can speak on behalf of men, speak for
Uh-oh.
Them. And, I used to tell them that, and I stopped doing that. I mean, I enjoy watching the guys. I got guys in my garage right now, and they're having a good time, just sitting there talking to each other like we're doing on the phone. I'm in the house talking to you guys and just
okay.
giving them, you know, their day to shine. And even though it's not here yet, but a lot of people, especially, you know, guys that working and doing different things and even taking care of their children, you do not have to be in the home to have a source, a resource, of a good version of a man and a male role father figure.
I see. Okay, okay. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Let me snowball it to Ben there. Ben, you heard the question?
Yeah, I heard the question.
All right.
I was going to say that's an interesting. It's an interesting question, and it's a good question because it's something that I've had not a very long discussion on, but I have a couple friends who. One of them in my mind comes straight to mind, but I have a couple friends who didn't have their fathers who are now fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is they've expressed the difficulties of being a father without having the input or the imprint of having a father in the house. And that's fine. I believe that being a father is not limited to being a son only. Now, if I may add in a philosophical / biblical reference.
Okay.
He said the father said that he would be a father to the fatherless. So if you have the right kind of input and you have the right kind of guidance, even if you don't have your biological father that's here with you or if you don't have anybody directly in the house, there are principles and there are teachings that you can learn along the way that
mm-hmm.
can still lead you to be a successful father.
Mm-hmm.
I believe
Absolutely.
That wholeheartedly.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead, brother.
Respond to that.
All I said was I agree with that is what I said just in a different way.
No, I got you. You started a good dialogue. See, I was asking Brother Taylor. Okay, go ahead, Brother Taylor.
Brother Ben hit it right on the head, man. Because, you know, from my experience, you know, although me and my father were close now, but he wasn't in my life, you know, what I call the critical years of, you know, going into young teenage years, into, you know, early young manhood. You know, a lot of conversations I didn't get to have with him, you know, in terms of what I've experienced with my children and able to be there for them hands on and teach them a lot of things. I had to learn through uncles, you know, my older brother, you know, different coaches, you know, teachers along the way, you know. So I learned from different people throughout the years, and I'm very grateful for that. And I thank God that he made me an observant young man, you know, so I kind of knew what to watch in terms of details and what I didn't want to be like, and, you know,
okay.
what I did want to hang on to, you know, in terms of my, you know, my journey, my development. So, but yeah, so I thank God for that, you know. But now, you know, me and my father, we're good. And he sees that, you know, that I am, you know, a family man and married and all that good stuff. So. But no hard feelings for me, you know. I'm thankful. But yeah, you know, absolutely. The true father is the man above, you know. So Yeah, that's just my thoughts on that.
Okay. That's it. I'm going to go to Chicago in just a second, but one of the things that I spelled out in the previous show, Bud Taylor, is that fatherhood is a divine state of existence. And that was hard for some people to swallow, right? You were talking about the Father Heaven. So when Elohim created man in the beginning, he created him with the ability to reproduce himself and to sustain himself throughout the annals of time through his offspring. His name lives there, not his physical body, but his name, his reputation. And in that case, he's just like the Creator. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Some people thought it was a little boastful of the Savior Christ to say, "When you see me, you see the Father." But what he was saying is, I'm exhibiting the qualities of the Creator of the universe. See, and there's nothing wrong with you saying that because you're doing that, you have that majesty and power. In the beginning, he gave you dominion. That's the power you have. We talked about that Tuesday night without going too far into that. I appreciate that. Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago. Yes. Do you think there is a need? You know how the state have a curriculum for educating children? And if you want to be a specialty, a nurse or a doctor or a teacher, you got to go to college for that. Do you think there's a need for a curriculum for training and developing fathers?
I personally believe that it is. First and foremost, let me apologize for the background noise. I'm in the city of Chicago. And you probably heard a lot of things that's going on in the streets of Chicago. And interesting enough that we're talking about it is a lot of the activity is with a lot of young men or males riding motorcycles or bikes or, you know, just freewheeling, if you will. I do believe that, yes, that there should be some kind of institution for fatherhood, because I believe in fatherhood by, with, in my opinion, the definition of fatherhood is an institution. I don't think that could be something learned in a university, because of the fact you're talking about cultural dynamics, you're talking about a bunch of variants that has nothing to do with let me say it, worldly curriculum, if you will. There's many different things out here, in my opinion, that confuse young males that can deviate from being responsible fathers because of the institution of the world, if you will. Males are dealing with homosexuality or being a part of that, and I'm not stepping on nobody's toes, but if you don't have no shoes on and you're in a way, your feet might get stepped on.
We're talking fatherhood night.
Yep.
We're talking the truth about fatherhood. Go ahead.
I got poetic license then. Okay. There's a lot of stuff going on out here with males that they get that's misconstrued with what it means to be a father, in my opinion. And yes, it definitely needs to be a curriculum. Some people need to be rebooted. A lot of males to be rebooted. A lot of fathers, well, I would say a lot of males need to be rebooted, because a father is a father. I don't think you can take that from from a father.
Right.
I just want to say that I commend the fellas that's on the phone tonight. A few of them I know, most of them I know.
Mm-hmm.
And what I know about them is that they do have a curriculum base.
Okay.
Of being fathers.
Okay.
And I know that because of the experience that I shared with them. Some has taught me and helped me to enhance the father that I am. And I greatly appreciate it. And I do respect it. And I'm a yield to that. This can go a lot of different ways, and I ain't trying to take that.
Okay, well, we appreciate that. Anybody want to comment? Yes. Anybody want to comment with anything? Anybody? Going once? Going twice?
Well,
the
thing is, my question would be to that, Reverend Doggett, how would the institution define fatherhood if the institution don't understand the cultural diversity of the people who they're trying to define that to be a father?
Okay. Now we're getting there. Now we're about to talk to something. Now we're about to dig off
I was trying not to go there, but if I may answer to that.
Come on, brother.
Okay.
Go ahead, brother.
One of the ingredients or one of the curriculum base need to be that it is male enhanced. And I no disrespect to you, Mama D.
No, I know.
No,
She ain't tripping.
Go ahead.
No, she on the line. I'm trying to be politically correct.
Don't be politically correct. See, that's the problem.
Okay.
You can't be no politically correct.
Okay.
Come on with it,
okay,
man.
I'm,
that's why we
got to okay, I got a license. Thank you.
Your brother Taylor got the facts, and he got
it needs to be male enhanced. I think, Reverend, you spoke before and several times, Pastor Wally even. He spoke about one scripture talking about when I once was a child, I act as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But when I became a man, I put down my childish ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as a male, we haven't learned what it means to be a male. First, you got to be a male before you can be a father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We are screwed up as a people, starting out as little males. I've seen little children have their way some other than a male.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, that's deep.
From the get go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we nourish that particular thing.
Mm.
And we don't correct it.
Mm.
As parents.
Yeah. You're on to something there. May I ask you this and stay on that thought? Do you think there is a cultural context in terms of not providing that correction within the subculture, within, you know, for all of our families? Do you think that that's part of the issue there, struggle?
Absolutely. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist or whatever. The election is over. but I believe. I do believe there is a war against males, especially black ones.
Okay.
I agree absolutely.
You able to be to be
able
to
I agree 100%
in control of their families.
Mm.
Or be in a position as a father, not a male, but as a father.
I see. Interesting. Wow. Do you mind, two brethren want to, they were just in agreement with you. When you get through, if you don't mind allowing them to share their thoughts on that or elaborate it.
Have at it. Have at it. I believe we're censored. I'm scared to talk. Y'all have at it, man.
Look, you done threw a grenade off in here, man. We need to run the fire, not run the cover, man. Jerry or Brother Taylor, I think I heard either one of you all.
Well, I say a few things. I agree because, you know, just, man, it's a lot that goes into that. Man, it's so much that really, I don't even know if we got enough time to even hit on all the challenges.
We got another hour.
Man, that still ain't enough time. We need the rest of the year. We need the rest of the year. But I do feel like, you know, systematically, I'm talking, you know, or you could say worldly or United States wide. It definitely seems to be an agenda, you know, in terms of the blackmail, which we, you know, I think Brother Ben hit on it earlier. We was talking about how, you know, the blackmail, how we are, you know, viewed or looked upon a certain way in the news or the platform or a little lack of platform that we do have. But yeah, definitely, you know, a lot of that with what Doc was saying is definitely starts in our household. And we don't have enough examples, you know, that these children need to see, you know, from the time they come out the womb, to diapers, to running in the playgrounds, and to up to, you know, teenage, young boy and teenage, and then, you know, young man and so forth. It's somewhere along that journey, it's a lot that's not being done. And whether, you know, single-parent homes, you know, or, you know, if they're raised by their mother is maybe sexually confused or, you know, it's a lot. I mean, or drugs, or your father on drugs, or just not there at all. A lot of things that goes into, you know, why we are, you know, struggling to build our young men where they need to be. Obviously, it's not enough of us just doing the right thing. I feel like, you know, that has to be the case, you know. Too many few dedicated fathers, you know, it's not enough of us, you know, taking a hold of our households. And I believe, well, in a lot of cases, the system is dividing our households. And they're banking on that. You know, talk about child support. That's one of them I really just like. That was really made to divide our house. It wasn't really made to truly support the woman and the child. No. They really made that to divide the house up.
Yeah.
You find a way to remove a man from the house, you know, and just like how they operate with, you know, you find a way to how people have to move around in the United States, where you talk about, you know, paronomics in terms of red line, green line, you know, you got the resourceful neighborhoods, and you got the lack of resource neighborhoods, you know, high crime and et cetera. So, you know, they'll try to dictate what we do and go based off the lack of resources and finances that we have. And then you throw in the child support system, and that's another, you know, it's a lot, man. I might be everywhere, but, you know, my mind.
No. But Taylor, you right there. That's some real talk, my brother. And look what the Bible said. Look what the Bible said. Or else, I'm talking about Matthew 12:29. Else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods? Watch this. Except he first finds the strong man. My God. Then he will spoil his house. Help me, Holy Ghost. Listen. Patrick Daniel Moynihan laid out a perfect plan to help black families back in 1965. And do you know what Congress voted in? the exact opposite. Because what Monahan said is, if you empower the Afro male economically and socially, he can take care of his family. And guess what we would need, beloved? We wouldn't need things like the social services. We could probably not need as much welfare, right? We wouldn't need as much role that public play in our children's lives. What the research says is that many children that don't live in a household with a father on the roof, their grades suffer drastically. You understand what I'm saying? Let's just
listen.
You can be what you want to be, but tonight we got fathers on here trying to encourage those who want to be responsible fathers. Now, if you're not going to – listen, Ben, if you see me and I come in the emergency room with a budget, my head bust, please don't play around with my toes tickling them. Take care of my head, man. Let's deal with the problem at hand. Have I got a witness? I didn't come to preach.
Right.
I didn't come to preach, but I'm right about it. Listen, here's the bottom line, gentlemen. It is high time that we stop skirting around, and I appreciate where you're coming from, Chicago, but we don't need to skirt around the issue because we'll never solve the problem every time we do. That don't mean you have to hate anyone. You just love yourself enough to do that. Ben, were you about to say something? And
yes,
we're joined by
say,
Pastor. I'm coming to you, Pastor, just a minute. Go ahead, Ben. You got the floor.
If I may add, excuse me for the complex thoughts that I'm going to insert, and it may be a lot, but so bear with me. I'm not going to try. I'm trying not to speak too long. But something I heard, came across, and resonated with me because I've meditated on before is financially, it is more beneficial on a corporate level for people to be divided than it is for them to be together, married in a house, and under the same roof.
Wow.
So with that being said, there is a financial interest in you being single because if I'm a single man and I buy a house, and as a single woman, she buys a house, that's two people that's putting into the economy compared to the one family that's putting into the economy.
Interesting.
So when we discuss fatherhood, I closely relate fatherhood with the necessity behind marriage, and if not marriage, a lifelong commitment in a relationship, because there's some consistency that goes on when you have two parties in the same house that have the same mindset. So it's harder to confuse two people than it is to confuse separate individuals. So there's a financial interest in separation of man and woman. I just want to insert that. That ain't too hard to follow. So,
okay.
Next thing I wanted to insert is that from my personal belief as far as the fatherhood, we're talking about fixing this thing, right? Because we talked about this needing surgery. I believe it should be of the utmost important focus to take back or lead our communities, and not just the financial way, and from an owning standpoint, a resource standpoint, business owning our communities. Reason being, there's quite a few of us here on this call who benefited from family having ownership in the 60s, even in the 70s, and even the 80s until, some things start to shift. But that ownership of the community allows, because we talked about examples for our children to look up, Brother Taylor did, examples for our children to look up to. If I'm looking up at my family, whether they're my mother or my father, are busting their butt to survive, it gives me less incentive to listen to them, whether that's fair or not. It gives me less incentive to listen to them because I don't feel like they have the capability to control their destiny in some form or fashion. So I believe it is very important for us to take back and to be intentional with owning our communities, owning our as fathers, That should be a focus, even as a an added portion of a father. Because being a father is leader of your household, and if you're going to be a leader of your household, and you merge together with more fathers, and you lead your community, now you have examples, and now you have the accountability amongst each other for a young man to look up to and to be disciplined by as a whole. So that's what I want to answer.
I've got a question that I want to pose to everybody, but before I do that, let me just do an identification. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctor. Our co-host is joining us now, Pastor Iffy Waller, the author of two books, not one, but two, Still High and The Flip Guide. We're grateful that he's joined us, and Pastor, you jump in here when you get ready. I know you're out on the ground doing your thing, and we appreciate you doing that. But we're listening to a father from Atlanta area, Brother Taylor. We're listening to Brother Ben, Brother Jerry from the Nashville area. We got Mama Dion with us. She's in the house now. You know she all in the house now. And Sister T is on us with Facebook. We're talking about we're calling all fathers to the floor, and we're asking them to sound off. We're coming into fatherhood this coming weekend. This is our last episode before Father's Day, so appropriately, we wanted to try to have this. We're grateful for all of you gentlemen to join us here tonight and to share your stories. It is vitally important that the world, and last time I looked at my matrix here in the podcast, we had people listening to us as far as Ghana, Africa. So it's vitally important that the world know that there are some responsible men who are fathers, who are taking care of their business. You ain't going to see them in the news because they don't make money off of that. Huh? You ain't going to hear about them because they ain't clowning. They busy working, taking care of their family and their children. That's why you ain't going to see them running in front of the news camera all the time. You're not going to catch them looting no buildings, stealing nothing either, because they busy working and producing. I wish I had a witness here tonight. I can't hear nobody praying. I'm down in the valley all by myself, and I can't hear nobody praying. Can I get away, man? Can I have a... You understand? Y'all know what I'm saying. That didn't come through. But so, yeah, it was grateful. Pastor Paula, would you like to jump in right quickly? But I do have a question for the panel here, and I'm just curious. I want to know. I want to know like a three-year-old. Anything you want to say at this point, Brother Pastor?
I'm just listening because I was, as I continue to realize about things like that, I don't really get into it, and the reason why I don't is it's personal. It's nothing against the system. I just when I learned some things, I understood the power of it, and so I don't even know when the day is. I mean, that's the thing about it. I had to hear somebody else say it. I think I just heard you say it was coming up soon, and the reason why I'm glad that I don't focus in on that, because just to have that once a year, it's a disrespect to those, you know, fathers that are daily fathers, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Sure.
You have to wait that long to celebrate a day that somebody else is going to get a whole lot of money off of if it ain't number one card that everybody's getting, send it to the people and things like that. In other words, I got to a point where I appreciate what I've learned, and I'm saying that to say it, according to the scripture, it said don't give no play to the devil. And so, you know, if the devil is the one who's making sure that the father's not in the house and then come back and give you a day like this and say, happy, you know what day. I think, what's so happy about that? Because you're throwing him out on one sense and then saying happy on the other. And when I hear that, you know, it gives me a sense of understanding that the wicked's supposed to be wicked at all times, and it should not skip a day in being that way if you're going to be wicked. And if we're going to be free from something, and I'm talking about me, I have to continue to realize that. I have to stand up to it, accept it, even though it's lonely. It's lonely sometimes, you know, thinking about it. Like a guy just asked me a few minutes ago, because I'd be on the street, and he said that a lot of the people that's on the street say, wonder, why am I down there? And then it's like, why is he down there? And he looked like he's all by himself, you know. And sometimes it can feel a little lonely when you're walking upright, when you're striving to do things, you know, reaching out to help others. But yet still, if they don't understand, then all they're going to do is what they're used to doing. And so, Pastor Doctor, you know how I emphasize on this particular part of not trusting myself. You know, I put great emphasis on that. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to turn it back over. And I thank God for everybody that's tuned in. And you have a say, and those that are listening, you have a right to listen. But here's the thing that the word says. It says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walk wisely shall be delivered. And so I just don't want to go back into the being a fool all over again when I've learned some things about what I heard earlier on the podcast. Someone said that they, I'm paraphrasing what they said, that they ran the man out of the house. And that doesn't sit well with me just knowing that, because I find it to be true. You know, if they gonna offer them a couple of dollars, make sure you don't have this man in the house. Man, that's pretty deep. So that's why I don't give it no action today. I guess that's where I'm at.
Okay.
I'm practicing on trusting more in the Lord every day. And making that be my avenue that I take, man. So you say this is the day that the Lord has made. He tells us to rejoice and to be glad. So I'm just glad to be in this day. I yield back to you on that note.
All right.
It's a hard
fight
out here, Pastor. It's a hard fight out here.
We feel you. We feel you. We feel you. And we certainly appreciate where you're coming from. And I think we all would agree that one day does not sum up our daily walk every day of our lives. And certainly none of us are just focused on what somebody says or when somebody says you should recognize fatherhood. But I think you would agree with me that too often that voice is not heard. I'm grateful that tonight these brethren are on with us. And if I can give the battle cry of fatherhood, calling my brothers mm-hmm. to the floor, oh, my brother. Come on, brother, let's speak the move. I can feel my help right now. Listen, brethren, God knows your heart and he sees your efforts. Keep on doing what you're doing. And guess what? It may not seem like it, but you'll have a tremendous impact on others. If not through your generation, through your children and your children's children. That's the part I like about it. That's the part I like about it.
Right.
So I got a little fella on the internet. Folks Google my name, and they tell me, who is this other Reuben Doc, the engineer? I said, oh, that imposter. You talking about my son? He imposter.
All right, man. But may I say something real fast, guys?
Yes, ma'am. And then we're going to go to Facebook. Go ahead, Mama D.
I love you guys, and I hate to cut it short, but I got to go. And everybody stay blessed and have a beautiful Father's Day because you so well deserve it.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us.
Hey, Pastor Waller, how
you
doing, baby?
I'm all right. Good to hear your voice.
All right now.
All right.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm trying to lock my phone up because I'm getting ready to leave, so. I just wanted to tune in and let you guys know I love y'all. I'm thinking of you always.
Thank you.
All right,
so
we love you.
Thank you.
All right, you. Have a good night, guys.
All right.
All right.
So let's go to Facebook. Sister P, she throws some blows sometimes. And gentlemen, let me tell you what she said. This is her statement, and we'll do a round robin. And perhaps if you like anyone like to respond to it. She says, the African-American community needs to be intentional about having more platforms that teach manhood, fatherhood, and mentorship. We, the black community, should consistently engage in dialogue, platforms, education that will help our men understand their roles and the importance of leading our families. This will entail time, right, and money, but will pay off dividends for the future generation We must, she says in capital letters, invest in our black family. What do y'all think about that? What do y'all think about that?
I agree with it 100%. And Ruben, Reverend Doctor, you know as well you and I, we have been speaking about that terminology for years.
Mm-hmm.
We had to be intentionally, as I like to say, keep our outsiders out, because that's where all the confusion and misconception is occurring with the subculture. And we need strong leaders and the community as a whole to come together and it just be about us, the black males. The black males and how important it is, and the role is to be a father and have to become a father.
Yeah.
And what's the expectation of it, of being a father?
Right.
And that's a community thing as well, not just an individual, but it's a community relationship of being a father, because we learn from experience from our elders.
Right. Okay. I wanted to ask you all, gentlemen, thank you, Ms. P. Great conversation. I think it's fair to say that we all would agree with your position there. My question is germane to, we often say we need to come together, Brother Taylor. Don't you hear that a lot?
Yeah.
We need to come together. Now, if you get 100 greasy, bubble-eyed rascals that look like me in a room, and you lock them in there, Bud Taylor, Bud Sheldon, and you say you can't come out, so y'all are all on one accord. How long do you think it'll take before they open the door? Start it out, Bud Taylor.
Well, I'm just going to say this. I'm gonna get straight to the point. It's going to take the power of Yah himself to align all men.
Wow.
But yeah, and then you got to factor in what you know, where their minds at, what you know, their life experiences. I don't know. It's a lot that goes into that. It's not going to be a simple task. I say that.
I'm gonna respond to my own question, but I want to hear to y'all. I want to hear from y'all. That's interesting.
Okay.
Snowball it to somebody else,
but
throw that to somebody else. We got.
What's your thoughts on that, Ben?
Repeat the question one more time, please.
If you got 100 greasy, bubble-eyed rascals that look like me in a room together, and you told them you can't come out until all of you all on one accord, how long would it take for the door to open again? It's a good question.
Well, I'm a very technical thinker, so that's a hard question for me. You said if you had 100 people, men just like you, bubble wrap.
Greasy and bubble eyed.
Greasy and bubble eyed. that makes the task even harder now. They're greasy and bubble it depends on the definition for one accord. Like I said, I'm a technical thinker. One accord may not be, you may not have to have the exact same mind in any and everything, but if you all follow this common interest, if there's just one thing that you all may be on one accord about, then I believe the door could open.
Interesting. Yeah. What about that, Chicago? You think that door will open if you just find one thing y'all in agreement on?
Shit, I'll give you about 10 minutes.
Ten minutes.
Time.
What's gonna happen to the door?
It's gonna bust open.
There you go.
It's gonna be some tables moving around. Yeah.
Oh,
it's gonna be some furniture. Everything in this room gonna be touched on. And I believe that because the simple fact, just because a person look like you don't mean that they have your same concepts and beliefs. And that's when you're talking about accord, one accord.
Okay.
And unfortunately, we've been played with and toyed with, where our accordions is not, they can't be the same, because the simple fact, one believe this, one believe that, one been told this, one been told that, it'll be a mess.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I said it's going to take you himself.
I'm coming back to you, Brother Taylor. And we're going around the table, but I'm coming back to you, Brother Taylor. Uh-oh, listen, look at Sister P. Sister P, that I told myself, Proverbs 21:27-17, she said, iron, sharpen iron. Watch out, Sister P. Don't try to steal my thunder, man. That's Facebook. Okay, I appreciate that, Chicago. What about it, Jerry? And then we go to Pastor Wall. But I'm gonna come back with y'all on something. I want y'all to consider something.
Right. I like to be optimistic, but I'm a realist as well. And to elaborate on what Mr. Taylor spoke on, you had to start with the mindset first, because just because you have a group of people that look alike, their mind could be all over the place, and you're never going to be on one accord if you don't know what the accord is. And right. So many of us don't have an idea of what the accord is, because we can't get ourselves together mentally. And there's a lot of distrust and fear amongst us, because we have to condition, unfortunately, to fear that way. Yes. Then you have to go back to that. Ask why. Why do we feel that way towards one another before we can have an accord? And also, before you get a group of individuals to have one accord, to me, the individual got to have an accord before you start having before you have a community to have an accord. Because right. you can't have a, I use you as an example, Reverend Doctor, use myself as an example. You're on a call to having a family, but I'm on a call to having a party.
Right.
Say that again.
So therefore, the individual had to have a self accord for themselves to want to be a father and bring the community together.
Mm-hmm.
Then before we bring a group of men together.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. Watch this. Y'all own something. Y'all hitting something, man. My sister hinted at the answer here. But, Pastor, you want to say anything before I interject anything? Because, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about anyway. But you want to add anything before I get back above Taylor there?
Well, anytime, you know, you have a crowd of people, it's not impossible to be on one accord. And the reason why I say that, as a believer, as tough as it is out here with different opinions and attitudes and indifferences, there's still an opportunity to know that the word of God does say, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So to put God first, I mean, this is something that you can't miss. It's what I've learned out in the community right now. It's not easy to do what I'm doing even right here where I'm at now, which I'm on the street corner now. That's not easy. So a guy just told me that he was trying to let the guys up there know that I'm down here for a purpose. So what I got out of that, what he's saying, if we can just pay attention to what he's saying. Now, you say, how hard is it? He didn't say it was going to be easy, but can it be done?
What?
Yes, the person just have to stay steadfast, because there is a crowd when he say, well, there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing. Then he say he would be in the midst. So if he's not in the midst, it's confusion on a high level because of the opinions and the ideas and all those things. So, yes, that would be a wreck without a doubt. But let people be open and not trusting in themselves. They're going to seek for some information, you know, and that's not everybody's going to do that. So I'm going to say this, and I'll turn it back over to you. There is a thing that it says you lead, guide, or get out of the way. Whichever order it is. If you're a leader, lead. If you're a follower, follow. If you don't know which one it is, just get out of the way and let it get going. And that's the best way you do, because the steps of a good man are order. That means that if he's not in, I'm not going to be in it nowhere. That's just me, because I've already trusted in myself for so many years, and I found out that I was a fool. So what I was doing, I'm going to leave everybody in a ditch anyway, so I didn't want nobody to follow me, you know, after knowing what I did. But when I got over here to the other side, then I would encourage people to follow me. I have a good idea, and I believe it'll work, but that don't mean the person is willing to follow. You see, so that's where it is right there. Out of all the men that's going to be in that group, if somebody has something that actually that's been working and is still working, for instance, now, and I'm going to have to turn over when I say this here. Let's just say, for instance, this is a true story right here. There's a man that was once upon a time corrupting the community with drugs. That's me. Okay, I admit it, because that happened. But now I know how to get people free now. So would I want somebody to follow me today? Yes, because I know what to do to get it straight. But are they willing to do that? That's the key right there, I think, what you were talking about. You know, I feel like I got enough information to restore this whole community where I corrupted it. I believe that. I have a right to believe that. But that doesn't mean they're willing to follow for whatever the reason is. You know, some people could be just afraid because they don't know what to expect. Some people can say, well, how can he talk? He used to do this. I don't know what they may come up with. But the bottom line, I've been doing it for 29 years in a row, and I never slipped, I never tripped, and I never failed. So that's the kind of person I believe that they should be willing and ready to follow. But the enemy, man, play a strong game, Pastor Doc. He don't want nobody to follow good guidance, man. And that's all I know. Sure. I don't know a whole lot of things, but I do know one thing. I know how to teach people how to get off of dope. I know how to teach them how to stop selling dope. I know how to do those things. I specialize in it because I was taught by the best. That's the one who created this world, taught me. They say the time that I started worshiping him in spirit and in truth, that's how I got free, and I was just teaching people how I did it. And guess what, Pastor Doc? I do it for free. I won't even charge them nothing. I do it for free, man. Could you imagine that stuff I used to do? I used to charge people for that stuff, man. It wasn't no good. I don't care how good they say it was. It wasn't no good. And I used to charge people, and they spent their money and went and got more money and done anything to get it. That's how wicked the enemy was, man, had me out there doing all this stuff. So yes, that is a solution to a crowd of people in a certain arena. You know, it's just all about what you know how to do. You could have a good idea on how to do it and know how to do it to the perfection, man. But if a person's not willing, that's on them. You still got what it takes. You just have to be willing, man. Put God first, man. Put God first. That's what I would say.
Okay, I appreciate that. So, Brother Taylor and gentlemen and Miss P, I started out by describing one of the 100, so I don't know what the other 99 looked like, but I said I was honest about me being greasy, being and bubble-eyed, okay? Now, everybody else can have their own short tells the false. Here's why I break that point. I read somewhere that if you seek first the kingdom, and not some, but all of his righteousness, everything you want to be added to. Watch this. You got 100 men in the room, right? And apparently, everybody got their own thought. That's why they're not unified. But when you change the conditions of the room such that everybody becomes so uncomfortable that they're forced to work together to become comfortable again, and if nothing else, that's to get out of that room. But they know they can't get out of there unless they're all on one accord. You start losing yourself. So, come on, Miss P. She said Matthew 6:33. Amen. You start losing yourself, and you start looking to your brother for what? For opportunities to work with him. You hear when the Savior said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Part of the problem is egotism. It's egotism. Now, you know, and where I grew up, Brother Taylor, in the projects, when we went out on the playground, and there was a lot of wolf selling, a lot of hooping and howling, they formed a circle. Everybody that thought they were bad had to get in the circle. And you had to body punch your way out. And guess who we decided who the baddest joker was out there? The last one that nobody else wanted to body punch. Most of us went and set our hands somewhere. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, we all have something to the table. We all have something to contribute. But at the end of the day, unless, as being alluded to, there is one thing that we're focusing on and we're moving toward. And that's what it meant by seek the kingdom first, the order. Seek the order of righteousness. And when you're righteous, you're not boastful, you're not prideful, and you're not trying to what? Put all the spotlight on you. But you're willing, Brother Taylor, to say, hey, let me pat Brother Taylor on the back for what he's done. Let me encourage him. Let me lift him up. And guess what happens? That does spread around the room. Before you know it, we all pushing one another up, and we can walk out together. What about that? What about that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that don't make no sense. That don't make no sense. At the end of the day, gentlemen, what we're doing tonight is what's called for. And I believe that when enough righteous men drop our decks and we go before the Creator and allow Him to lead us and guide us, we can find better answers for what's going on. Now, the problem is, Ben, this is what you alluded to, when you leave it to the government and you leave it to the mores of society, you're going to have a problem. You'll have issues. But when people decide they want to be righteous, and one way you can do this is everybody put their resources together to form and maintain the community or environment that they own where you can set the rules for it. Doc, you can't come in here clowning, making a bunch of noise, talking loud and saying nothing. No, he got to conduct himself in a way that we all do. I'm reminded, Jerry, of the framers of the Constitution. Not that they were perfect themselves, but something about what they said made sense. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unchangeable rights. Watch this, Brother Dave. This is the part that was interesting to me. Then they went on to say those rights were life, liberty, pursuit of happiness in Chicago. Then they went on to say that to secure those rights, government, order, structure, discipline were established among those men. And the only power that anybody who said they represent the government had is by the consent of those who agreed to be governed. See, we agreed to be here tonight. We agreed to respect one another tonight. We agreed to share on Talk Straight and come to the floor and sound off. We agreed to do that. And guess what we've had since we've been here? Peace and harmony. Maybe I'm wrong. Anybody see anything different?
No, you're right.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Go ahead, Brother Ted.
You're right. I think this has been definitely a healthy and needed conversation. Yes, it does help to hear. And it makes me feel good, too, to hear my brothers who are, you know, we all kind of alike in the matter of being responsible family men. And we take pride in it. So yes, it's good. It's a refresher to hear, you know, to hear from other men, you know, and it's not as lonely as it seems because you know when we out here and we doing what we got to do and we caught up in our daily agendas, it can be lonely, you know. But but yeah, you know, that's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, great point. Somebody, Ben, were you going to say something? I thought I heard you about to opine.
Repeat that again. Was I about to say something about?
You had to say what he was saying. My brother was saying then, Pastor Doctor.
I'm sorry, say that again, Pastor Waller.
Yeah, my brother was saying, you know, it, like you said, it's lonely. You know, I was saying it earlier, and, you know, but it's just good for you, but it doesn't take away from you. It's just like, you know, you would love to see others come on over here, you know, and so you got to continue to press on. You know, the word says, let brotherly love continue. So that's the tough part of it, is just continuing, even though it's lonely, but you still got to continue just because it's so good to be a part of something that's so valuable. And I say it like this. Yes, I understand a lot of them don't know because I just left from it and I didn't even know. But now that I know, I'm like, okay, man, let me get out here to let them know, man, it's okay. Come on over. Give it a try. You just might like it, man. but you know, it's just not easy, even though they see it, man. And it's just hard to break away from something that, you know, have you bound. And that's where the compassion come in at with me. And so I have to continue to show up and come out on the streets, man. And it's just, and when the night is over, and once I've done everything that I was assigned to do, and if it's no gunfire, you know, it make me believe that this could be a part of the reason why it's not. You know what I mean? And man, I mean, it's just, you never know. And then I have to look at, what if I wasn't here for those hours that I decide to post up? You know, by me not knowing that, I just know that it didn't happen while I was out here. And that's a good thing, man, because they have legalized on what they're going through, I heard. I don't know when they're going to do it, to be able to be armed. You know, like, go ahead, I'll get you some more guns. And you, it's all right. I don't know how that really go, but, man, just the thought of it, it's like, what is it for? Do we need guns amongst each other out here? For what? And that's the thing. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to have to turn it back over. I was out here just the other day, and one of the guys was sharing something with me about what a young brother said. A young brother said that he was going to put three people down before the summer was over. And then he came back and said, you know, as if it was like, I got to make sure before the summer's over, put three people down. What about lifting three people up? You know, and it's not their fault because they don't know no better. You got to know the power of words, man. Words are very powerful, brother. And even I didn't know it when I was coming up. I did not know the words was that powerful. But I found out that life and death is in the power of the tongue. So if you go on what they're listening to, if you go on how they glorify it, you know what I mean? Then you have an opportunity to see why they want to put three people down, you know. And it may be a language that they're listening to. I don't know. It's just something about that lonely part. And my brother made me, you know, wanted to kind of put emphasis on it. And I appreciate you bringing it back up, because that narrow road, man, it is lonely, but it's just such a good road to be on. So it may be aware that just keep on pushing, man. You never know. Somebody may confess at any moment now and want to join in, absolutely, man. It's all it takes is just that, brother. So I appreciate you bringing that back up, man. It made me really appreciate not giving up on the people. Mm-hmm. Appreciate
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Listen. We have about 16 minutes. What I want to do is to give each of you, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 men on here. We'll give each of you an opportunity to maybe 3 minutes or so. Give us an encouraging word about continuing on as fathers and what we can do. Let's start with you, Chicago.
I would say to piggyback off the brothers with what they were saying about being lonely, I think that should be one of the rules of the curriculum, or one of the principles of the curriculum. It is something when you're able to stand and be able to understand and listen and submit by yourself.
My goodness.
Wow. That's a beautiful thing to be able to do that.
Preach right there.
That's a beautiful thing. And that's half of our problems, is because of the simple fact we're only able to maneuver when there's a group. We're only able to make a decision when there is a group. We're only able to have a foundation when there is a group.
I think okay. being lonely, to be able Great. To be able to have, find some solace in loneliness is a blessing. I think that solidifies fatherhood. In my years of being a father, I feel like I'm the black sheep.
Okay.
Because the simple fact that I may not agree with the mother, I may not agree with the principles of the world, I may not agree with a lot of things. Just because of the knowledge of knowing where those things will go.
Okay.
And what they
okay.
can do.
Okay. All right.
I would say to be encouraged in loneliness. It's a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all right, brother. Appreciate it, man.
Proverbs 27:5 says, "For the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his provision." So it's all right to go into your secret place every now and then, so he can hide you in his provision. That'll preach right there, bro. We appreciate you, man. Let me go on around. Okay. What about it there, Brother Taylor? Thank you for joining us, man. I know you're just getting off of work and everything, and, you know, you got to go and get your wife a little sugar and hug the babies and all that good stuff.
Yeah. For me, I would just say us as men, just continue to trust in the higher power. Stay prayed up. Don't get weary on this journey, although it can be lonely at times. And yes, I can relate. I do. I've had that black sheep feeling a few times. I think that comes along with the territory of trying to lead a household and dealing with the challenges of society, et cetera. Just keep pushing forward and control what you can control and just stay thankful even for sunny days and rainy days. Stay thankful through it all. Because they all days and all challenges and everything in life plays its purpose and plays its role. And that's my piece on this. So.
But keep doing what you're doing, brother. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate
it. Amen. We appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate y'all.
Okay. Go ahead, Ben. Give me about 3 minutes, then we throw it to Gary for 3 minutes. And Pastor Waller wrap us up for tonight. Can you hear me, Ben? I know he's with the
Yes, there. I can hear you. I have to mute sometimes. Got the little ones. What I would say, just some encouragement or just the way I've tried to go about being the most effective father I can be in my household is wholeheartedly believe in planning, preparation, and having a goal in mind initially before you start out. Somebody spoke on it. I can't remember exactly who said it. Having an idea for yourself. I believe it was Brother Gregory.
Okay.
And when you have an idea, or if you have your own, or if you have your purpose, starting into it, being intentional about it, that'll give you the best strategy to be actually able to see the process through. And it's not going to always run exactly how you want it, of course. There's going to be some disagreements, and there's going to be some things that's out of your control. But if you start off, if you approach the fatherhood aspect, being intentional about everything you do, that'll give you the best result of just leading or just branding the lifestyle that you want to live for your father. So live as a father, I should say. So just to kind of give an example, we kind of have an unorthodox path in my house, whereas it's not completely unorthodox. I would say it's really actually more old school, oddly enough. My wife, she stays at home. And she teaches the children. And we're doing so, we feel like that for the time being, it gives us the best opportunity to be able to navigate the society that we're in from our own narrative rather than the outside influences And whether that's sustainable or not, we'll discover and we'll figure out exactly how we're going to do this thing along the way. But this gives us the best opportunity initially to be able to navigate the society with our input being the primary input over our lives and over my family. So I believe for the future with our young men, I believe it starts with practicing, having a mission, having a goal, as being a father. We need to actually see, we need to have that goal as being fathers rather than just happening to become fathers. Because that's a huge difference. So if we are to help and guide our generation, have a mission of being a father rather than you're a father, now what?
Right.
You know, and that was a lot of people's situation. And that's okay. That's okay. That's perfectly fine. You know, we still got to make a move and everything. We still got to do what we got to do. But I think that gives us the best chance for the future and beyond.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate that. You took a little bit of Jerry Stan, but I don't think he minded that much.
No, I don't mind at all. I don't mind at all.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you, Bud Shelby. God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing, man. And a few years from now, those babies take over the world. And we have to, boy, look at, I knew it's that. Thank you, man. We appreciate you there. All right, Jerry, we're going to throw it to you before we turn it over to Pastor Wilder. Some things and some nuggets that you encourage us here in about a couple of minutes here.
But the encouragement of continuing to be a father, being father, know that it's an everyday situation, it's an every minute situation. But therefore, knowing that you've been leading from a higher call, from a higher calling, and once you understand that that leadership from Elohim, you allow Him to guide you with all the challenges, the discouragement, and the loneliness that you're going to face. But you believe in His faith that will continue to lead you through those obstacles. And also too, understand that you have to be a father to yourself before continuing to be a father. Therefore, knowing that your purpose in life, your goals, your leadership, your strength, and your weakness, and your wisdom throughout life.
Jerry,
and last but not least, Reverend Doc, if you're also understanding that you're a father to your children, but also being aspiring that you're a father to the world, because there's always those that's going to need leadership, guidance, and inspiring.
Okay, all right. I was just going to say that Ms. Patterson on Facebook said she had no questions for you all. She was thoroughly enjoying your conversation, and she wished everybody a happy Father's Day. Yep, that's my duty there. Thank you, Brother Gregory, for joining us here, man, and as well as the others. We'll wrap it up with that, and if y'all don't mind, Pastor Waller will wrap us up as he does normally on Talk Straight here as we prepare to go. And it's not just one day, as Pastor Waller said, it's every day that we value and we respect the role and the place, the principle of fatherhood. All right, Pastor Waller, take it away from us.
Amen. We want to thank God for all the brothers who spoke, man, so eloquently. You know, I want to make sure I take time out to say that. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And Pastor Dockery, it's been great, man. I tuned in when I had an opportunity to. And for those who were listening from afar, who had comments, we thank God for them as well. The number one thing that I got out of all of this is that we had a night to stir up a form of wisdom from all the brothers who had a chance to speak. So we're going to continue to believe that once we stir it up and get ready to serve it, it would do some good in the location where you brothers dwell. Because the word says, according to Psalms 133 and verse 1, it says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Man, I receive unity tonight, so I just want to encourage you all to continue to do so, and you'll be amazed on how God would draw someone to you. I yield back to you on that note, Pastor Doctor.
Wow. Great conversation, man. I told you y'all were going to learn me something. Told you gonna learn me something. Listen, every brick that is in the structure is as important as it's in itself, because without it, the structure couldn't exist. So until you can hold yourself up and maintain yourself, You're no good to the builder. You're no good to the builder. And what Elohim seeks to do is to build a house of good men. The OJ said it like this: don't call me brother unless you really, really mean it. And we'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of Talk with Brother. And all these brothers that joined us tonight, thank you, and we'll see you then. If you don't mean it, don't say it. Don't say it. Thank you.